So several weeks ago, I began a series of messages which I entitled Life in the Spirit. And as we have been exploring what this life in the Spirit is, because the moment we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. But the question that I want us to consider over these number of weeks is, what does the Holy Spirit do today? What is He doing in us? What is it He wants to do in me? What is it He wants to do in you? What is it He wants to do in our church, and so on? We want to know what the Holy Spirit says to us. We want to know what He says. I want to know what He says to me, and you want to know what He says to you. But what is His work? And so as we kind of unpack this life in the Spirit, we have been considering the work that He does in all of our lives, a more general work, if you want to call it that. We're going to talk about how He works through His church today and gifts that He gives to His church that we might know Him better and we might make Him better known. That's really what the Holy Spirit does. If you want to put it into a nutshell, it's that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus better known and helps us know Jesus better and helps us make Jesus better known. We've used as a theme verse or a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and verse 25 that says this: So I say, walk by the Spirit. And since we walk or live by the Spirit, those words are interchangeable. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And since we walk by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Life in the Spirit makes a difference. We talked about a man by the name of John, 80 or 90-year-old man, exiled to a prison island called Patmos. And it tells us there's a phrase in John's writing in the book of Revelation that says, John was in the Spirit. And so even though he was on Patmos and dealing with cruel prisoner-like conditions, John was also in the Spirit, and his writings are inspiring us to this day. Despite being in the Spirit, or despite being on Patmos, John was able to see and hear, and he was able to write, and his life in the Spirit has inspired us to this very moment. We've talked a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. We heard it sung about already this morning and quoted here by some of the kids that the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. He's not just a force, but He's a personal reality in each of our lives. And so last time we started to talk about, well, what does He do? In the Old Testament, we have the work of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, from creation and forward, we see the work of the Spirit. But the Spirit came for special circumstances. He came during creation. He came up on people, judges and kings and rulers, and special seasons for special purposes. But the New Testament tells us that now the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all of us, and He now lives within us. And so the work that the Holy Spirit did is now happening in and through each of us. And one of the ones we talked about specifically last week was His continued work of creation. In the Old Testament, it says that the Holy Spirit hovered or brooded over this dark nothingness, this mass of emptiness, there was nothing, and the Holy Spirit brooded over it, it says, and then God spoke, and this beautiful world was framed. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is reminding some of us that in our darkness and lifelessness and emptiness and chaotic mess, that the Holy Spirit is brooding over that. And God is about to speak life and light into your circumstance. And so this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, what does that have to do with life in the Spirit? Well, it has everything to do with life in the Spirit. This morning, on this day, we're reminded of, I'm going to say one of the most, probably the most spectacular work of the Holy Spirit in history. we're reminded of. We celebrate this event, we call it the resurrection. We're reminded of a very powerful working of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. But there's also something equally powerful for us this morning. What does it mean to me? God raised Jesus from the dead, but what does that mean to me today in 2025? Let me read a couple of verses of Scripture to you this morning, and I'm going to tell you from these Scriptures why and what it means for us today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Very powerful verse here for us this morning. It says, and if, and let me stop there. I'm not going to stop after every word, because I know you have plans for the remainder of the day. But and if, now that word is not an if as it could be or could not be. It's not like if you go to the store this afternoon. It's a word that's an assumptive word. It's a given. It's like saying you're out in a boat and you fall in the water, and if the water is wet, you're going to get wet. Well, we know the water is wet. It's that assurative word, and if, it says, because the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, which the Bible tells us it is, the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and is sort of like a deposit, the Bible tells us. Paul told the Corinthians, the Holy Spirit is going to be deposited in you. And that's going to guarantee some things that are going to happen to us. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. And then over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17, Paul gives us a prayer that he has been praying for the Ephesian church. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. What kind of a power is that? How great is that power? Paul says that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. There's two miracles that we celebrate here this morning. The first is the miracle of the empty tomb, that Jesus died on a cross, was dead, was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. The second miracle that we don't want to overlook this morning is that God, through our acceptance of that reality, has placed that same power that raised Jesus from the dead in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, a man who was crucified, beaten, drained of blood, and put in a tomb and came back to life, the same power is in us who follow and believe in Jesus Christ. And so that's who we are this morning. It's the fullness that He has given to us who are His church. And so what does that do within us? Paul wrote to the Romans, and I think the first thing it does for us this morning is that it reminds us of what's absolutely essential to our faith. It reminds us of what is absolutely crucial. Not to be lost in the point that Paul was making here about what the Spirit does. Not to be lost is the absolute statement a fact that Christ was raised from the dead. You see, that's what's at the core of our faith. We gathered here on Friday morning with some other churches, good friends of mine. We differ on some things. I'm privileged to be a part of a ministerial here in the Ottawa Valley, and there's a broader section of churches. And we differ on maybe a few more things. But we still work in fellowship, and we are able to gather here Good Friday morning with a packed building and worship together. Some things we can differ on, but this is a reminder of what is absolutely essential to our faith, that Jesus Christ bore our sins to the cross, and then God raised Jesus from the dead. That's core to our faith. And so when God puts His Spirit within us, that's what makes us understand that. That's why for us, Easter weekend is more than just a weekend off. I watched a interview, kind of a man on the street kind of interview in another province, but a large city in that province. And the interviewer interviewed people randomly coming by. So what are you doing this weekend? What are you doing this weekend? And I kept waiting, but not one person even acknowledged I go to church or I'm going to celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We're going to spend time with family. We're going to do this. We're going to go to the cottage. We're going to, you know, all of these things. But it's the presence of the Spirit of God within us that makes this different for us. It reminds us that essential to our faith is the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing that power of the Holy Spirit living in your life does. It reminds us of what's essential to our faith. Paul says it gives us life. He said, if that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, then He's also going to give life to your mortal body. Not just life again to Jesus, but He's going to give life to our mortal bodies. Now, the first reality there is that we're mortal. That's the first reality. We are mortal. Of all the billions of people that have been born on this planet, they've all died. Not one has lived longer than, you know, however many years. We're mortal. And no matter how much we try to deny that or try to prolong it, we're mortal. I read this week an interesting stat, and I'll just, or an interesting quote, and I'll just throw it out there for whatever good it does. The inventor of the treadmill died at age 54. Colonel Saunders died at 94. Make wise choices. We're mortal. We're mortal. We need to take care of the temples that God has given us, yes, but we're mortal. His Spirit, the Bible tells us, His Spirit gives life to this mortal body. It gives life now. It gives spiritual. It gives spiritual vitality and spiritual life to these lives that are mortal, but while we live, He gives life to us. And it also promises that it will give us eternal life. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says He was just the first one. He's the first fruits. He guarantees what's going to happen to all of us. And every one of us here this morning has someone, and maybe many people, that have passed from this life. But the Bible tells us that we are not as people that don't have hope. Because of Easter, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope that they too one day are going to be raised to life and we are going to spend eternity with them. The Bible says He will give life to your mortal bodies. One of the authors that I read this week, Everett Harrison, said, "While our mortal bodies may die, the life that God gives goes beyond the physical. And we are, in the sense," he says, "indestructibly eternal." There you go. Next time you look at yourself and you've got a few more pounds than you'd like or a few more wrinkles than you'd like and all of that stuff, think that because of Jesus, I am indestructibly eternal. This body may die, and it will, unless Jesus returns before it does. This body will die, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to this mortal body too. And that is the hope that we share. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, the Holy Spirit also gives us wisdom and revelation to know Jesus. Now, I meet a lot of people. I've met a lot of people over the years. And I've met a lot of people that want revelation, and they want to understand the things that are coming, and so do I. And people want to have these deep, dark things revealed to them, but Paul says that the Holy Spirit is placed within us, and he gives us a spirit of revelation, not so we can know things to come or things that are going to happen, but that we might know Jesus. That's the purpose of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in our lives, is that we would know Jesus better. Not that we would know what's going to happen in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, but that we know what God has already done, and he's given us his son Jesus. He's given us this spirit that we would know Jesus better. A spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is something we all need, not just knowledge. We've all heard those phrases, and wisdom and knowledge are different. I read one this week that I thought was pretty good, or last week. It says, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. So God's given us a spirit of wisdom to understand. He's given us hope, Paul says. And the Holy Spirit in us is a constant reminder of the hope that we have. Paul told the Corinthians, the Spirit is given as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You ever met a salesman that didn't want you to put down a deposit? Because he or she knew that once you put down that deposit, there's a lot more likelihood that the rest is coming. And God deposited the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it says it's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. How do I live knowing that this is true? How do I know that the Spirit is one day going to raise my mortal body from the dead? Or is going to raise my family and so on? How do I know that all of these things are true? Well, God has deposited the Holy Spirit. And I sense his presence every day. I feel him in me. I sense his leadership and guidance and direction. And so that's a guarantee. That's just a deposit. And if that's the deposit, then how good will be everything that is to come? Paul goes on and he says he helps us understand our riches and our inheritance. I'm not sure what bank you deal with. I deal with Scotiabank, and a few years ago, or I guess they still do, they have a slogan that says, you're richer than you think. So just when I think that the internet knows too much and the government knows too much about me, I'm thankful at least that my bank doesn't. And they have access to some information that they're allowed to have access to. And so Scotiabank might tell me I'm richer than I think when I know the difference. But God's word tells me that I am far richer than I ever knew. God has put his spirit, his very life in me. He has deposited in my life something so valuable that I can't even comprehend it. The riches of our inheritance, of who we are in Christ and all that we have to look forward to. And then in verse number 19, Paul talks about his incomparably great power. I'm the kind of a person, I like to compare things. I like to use analogies. Even when I'm preaching, I try to sometimes help you understand, say, well, it's sort of like this. Jesus did that with his parables. When he was trying to teach spiritual truths, he said, it's like a man who took his seed and scattered it, or it's like someone who went fishing, or he tried to compare things. But you know what? As much as I can try to compare God's power, it's incomparable. I can tell you it's stronger than the most powerful engine, or it's stronger than the sun, or I can use all of these things. But Paul the Apostle came to the conclusion that God's power is incomparable. And so there's nothing this morning that I can compare it to. And what that should tell me and what it should tell you this morning is that whatever the situation you're facing, and you're saying, Pastor, it's so difficult that I can't even compare it to anything right now. Well, God's power is big enough that it can't be compared either. His incomparably great power. How great? Well, the only thing that Paul could think of, the only thing that I can tell you of how great God's power is, well, he raised a man from the dead. He raised a man who was beaten beyond recognition, beaten beyond the point of death, and placed in a tomb and guarded. And yet he raised him from the dead. And so when I put my struggles in that perspective, it really helps. His incomparably great power. What else does the Holy Spirit do? This power that raised Jesus from the dead, what does it do in us? It reminds us of his authority. Keep that in mind next Monday, will you? Next Monday's election day, in case you didn't know. Next Monday, when we have a government or some semblance of one, keep in mind that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead also set Jesus at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in our age, but in the ages to come. And so keep in mind this Monday that no matter who makes up the government of our country, that God has placed his risen son Jesus on the throne, and he is ultimately in authority over your lives and over this world. Don't forget that this Monday. Get out and vote. Be familiar with the issues. Vote from your good Christian conscience. But trust God that no matter what happens, he is still all authority. Verse 22 says, and then God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Don't worry about the church. We've got a good leader. We've got good leaders here. Good board, good leaders. But we're not the head of the church. Don't worry about the church. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he appointed him to be head over the church. He is our leader. Allow him to remind you of that. And then he says, we are his fullness. That's who we are. We're his fullness in the world. He's placed his spirit within us, that we might know Jesus better. He's given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I can understand who Jesus is. But he's also placed his spirit in us that we can let others know who Jesus is, because we are his fullness. He has chosen a God who was powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead, made the decision that he is going to put the onus for this world to know Jesus upon my shoulders and upon yours. And he's placed his spirit within us in order for us to help Jesus be known. And so on this Easter Sunday morning, we're reminded far too often of our weakness, our mortality. We're reminded of political instability. We're reminded of evil rulers with evil policies. We're reminded of threats against the church and so on. That's a daily reality that we live with. But on this Resurrection Sunday, we're also reminded of the most, I'll call it mind-blowing, for want of a better word, event in human history. That God raised Jesus from the dead. And we're reminded on this Easter Sunday that the same power that did that, that God exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead, has taken up its permanent residence in us, the children of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And if it does, which it does, it brings life, it brings wisdom, brings authority, and brings hope. And so if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all of that dwells in you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then all of that can dwell in you the moment you accept that God took your sins, placed it upon His Son, allowed Him to die on a cross, paid the penalty, wiped your slate clean, and then raised Jesus from the dead to give a deposit and a guarantee that all this is a reality for us who believe. And that can be yours this morning. Would you bow with me? We're going to sing the chorus we sang earlier. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever. This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe your life is filled with questions and doubts and fears, those realities will continue. But God will put something in your heart that will give you a hope and a peace that goes beyond anything that can ever come your way. The incomparably great power that raised Jesus from the dead can live in your heart if you would invite Jesus in. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your word is, this is not just a story or season of year that reminds us of some things that can help us. Lord, some symbolism. This is truth. This is historical fact. And Lord, your word also tells us that just as you raised Jesus from the dead, that you now live in us. And you will quicken, you will give life to our mortal bodies. You'll give wisdom and revelation that we can know you better. You'll give us hope. And Lord, you'll give us that assurance that you are in control of every aspect of our life and every aspect of our world. So I pray this morning that should there be those here who have accepted you, but they're not living in that reality, Lord, remind them that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that we've sung about this morning lives in them. For those that haven't accepted you, I pray that this would be an Easter Sunday morning when their lives will be changed. From this morning forward, that you would take up residence within their hearts and give them hope and direction for a great future. We ask this in Jesus' name. We're going to sing that song, Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever.